Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Are you singing praises?
Hi, of Eric Zorno, yes. That's what I do on Mondays.
I didn't hear you singing the praises. I
do it internally.
Don't lie to me about
it. I don't sing your praises externally.
If you're not actually singing my praises.
Good to see you, Eric.
I don't want you to lie like
How
that.
Are you?
It's not becoming. I'm great.
You look bubbly. I don't know what's going on, but you have a bubbly look to you.
I had a nice weekend. You guys have good weekends?
No. Not really.
No.
But I'm glad to be back to work, put it that way.
Does it feel like fall? It's fall.
No. Yep. I see the little leaves are trying to change colors, but they're kind of confused.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what it was for me? I watched the same Cubs game over and over and over again last week.
I know. It was like having a DVR. You hit the wrong program.
It was like if Groundhog Day was...
Are you guys done now?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
The towel has been thrown in. Oh, I mean, mathematically, totally they're not eliminated, but they're eliminated.
Them. It's them now, by the way.
Right.
It's
if they're winning, us. We won.
We won.
We did great.
I've always
been
there.
See, we win and they lose.
Yeah,
right?
That's how it plays out.
Yeah, that Sorry, was,
But the
fans.
Same game over and over and over, a one-run loss.
Never seen anything over, like it.
Hasn't happened, they said, since the Old Testament was the last time. Cardinals took four games at Wrigley.
It's something like that, yeah.
At least we have the Bears tonight. Go Bears!
Yes. All right. How are you, Eric?
Good. I got in a lot of trouble last week. On the show, we talked about Eddie Pinheiro, the kicker.
Injured Eddie Pinheiro.
How he thanked Jesus and told us we had to believe in God. We had that conversation last week, and I got...
I know.
So,
I know you did.
I didn't agree with you.
I got so much email.
Yeah.
Why do you,
mostly from Wendy.
Yeah, what? I know.
It was mostly from Wendy?
I changed my name a bunch of times.
Why do you think people were so passionate and angry about that?
Well, part of it is that it sounded like I was criticizing his religion, his faith, which I was not doing. And part of it was that he had won the game as a hero, and I was I was harshing his mellow, and that was...
got to take what you can get.
But it was very interesting. I had a bunch of interesting conversations about it. And then on Friday, I wrote a column about the Wheaton kids that want to preach at the Bean. You guys follow that story at
no,
all?
A little bit. I don't know.
Well,
tell
they
me.
Sued the city. They went to the Bean over in Millennium Park called Cloudgate, and they wanted to. Millennium Park is divided into like 11 quote unquote rooms, like little sections of the park, and really you're only allowed to speak and hand out leaflets and so on. You exercise your First Amendment rights in one of them. It's the one that's right on the north. West corner, right at Randolph and Michigan there.
I didn't know that was the case.
That's where you can preach the gospel or your political
views. So that's the city's way of saying you have your right to free speech, but we need to limit
but
it
to some
extent.
But only in this one little spot.
Yeah.
And the Wheaton College students who were shooed away by security guards there sued the city saying, you know, hey, come on, this is a public park. We have a right to free speech here.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a column saying that I kind of sympathize with them. I think that just having free speech in one little corner of the park is a little too restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I really sympathize with people who want to go to the Bean and take their picture in the reflecting surface and enjoy that without having people just coming up to them and proselytizing. And so I suggested that there be like a 100-foot speaking and proselytizing barrier around the Bean. That strikes me as a pretty good balance of people's right to enjoy that without being hassled or being confronted by people who are trying to. And what I wrote in the column was that I felt like the I kind of wish that it weren't these fresh scrubbed Wheaton College kids who are so earnest and they're something like 71% of the population is Christian, and so they're expressing viewpoints that are shared by most people. I said, what if it were, instead of them, the people suing were like the Westboro Baptist Church people? You know, remember them?
They're
the ones who pick at the funerals of military veterans, saying that God is happy that the soldier has died, and so on. I mean, just this awful, toxic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize you can't really allow these Wheaton College kids promoting this perfectly popular faith, unless you're going to allow the Westboro Baptist people to shout their horrible slogans at people right in front of the Bean. So
does that work to get someone to? I mean, I'm not going to change my church because I see either of them.
Does it work? It must. I mean, there must be
recruiting.
You see, do you guys? You ever walk in the Pedway? You know, see, there's the this. I think it's the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah,
who are in the Pedway, and they, or maybe it's Anyway, I think that's who it is, and they're always stationed in various places in the Pedway and also through downtown, and I figure it must pay off because they're there all the time, and they don't say anything to anybody unless you approach them. They don't come up to you.
Well, I might have a new person to talk to.
Which is I mean, I think it's respectful. They've got a sign, they've got literature there. If you're interested, you can stop and talk to them. They seem like very approachable people. So does that work? I'm guessing that it does, otherwise they wouldn't be out there, and I'm guessing that the street corner preaching must pay off in some ways, too.
Forgive me for not knowing this, but I honestly don't. With the kids from Wheaton College by the Bean, are they asking for donations?
No, I don't think they
what
are.
What are they asking
for? Well, I think they're just asking.
Spreading the word.
They're spreading the word, yeah. Their faith calls on them to evangelize.
Yeah.
And that's
Can't they do it online now? I mean, isn't that what the internet's for?
Well,
and they have a right to do it. I'm not saying they shouldn't, but you know,
no, they have a right to do it. And I think that the number of places where you should prevent that should be very limited. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I had the same feeling about the protesters who wanted to prevent, who want to get in the faces of women going into
abortion clinics. Yeah.
I feel like they should be able to express their views.
Everybody mind their own business.
But I feel like they ought to be, but I think they ought to be at least like 15, 20 feet back. And they feel that this bubble is too large. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to like put things in people's hands and so on. And I know that there's not actually a right to be left alone or the right to walk through the city in peace. But there should be, I think, something like that, at least informally, in the way we look at the First Amendment. We should
right.
say, like, yes, we're going to give you plenty of opportunity to say whatever you want to whoever you want, but you also want to give people a chance to enjoy something like the Bean or maybe the Face Fountain as well. Just create a perimeter so that when you're inside that perimeter, people aren't coming up to you all the time and giving you the business. So anyway,
yeah.
I got a lot of mail on that too.
So. When you get a lot of mail over something like that, what are people hoping? Like, what was the gist of what their argument was?
Actually, I would say in that case, with the Eddie Pinheiro stuff, I would say that as I said to John Williams, we talked about it. I said dozens of people wrote to expressing support for my point of view, but scores of people wrote, and he didn't know the difference between dozens and scores.
Oh.
It's, you know, John.
Wow.
But I said 4 score and 7 years ago. No, I'm going to say it was probably 2-1, something like that.
I'm surprised it wasn't higher.
But this was, I think the mail ran more to my favor. I think the people who were really angry wrote to Neil Steinberg at the Sun-Times, who wrote about the same topic, but he really dragged Wheaton College.
Did he?
It's worth going back and reading his column from Friday. Anyway, so
Eric Zorn is here, everybody. We'll take a quick break and then more discussions.
Eric Zorn is visiting with us today, as he does on almost every Monday.
Just about every Monday. Holidays, I don't come in.
No, you deserve that time to yourself, Eric.
Labor Day, Monday.
You really do.
I'm not there.
Can we talk about tipping with you?
I do want to talk about this. The story just posted to the Tribune website, and it's about a proposal that's in front of the City Council's Committee on Workforce Development that will there's a wage they pay to people who are tipped, right? That are it's lower, significantly lower than the minimum wage. The tipping wage is $6.40 an hour, and the minimum wage in Chicago is currently $13 an hour. And this proposal would eliminate this tipped wage and make it so that everybody who is paid, you know, minimally like that would be making at least minimum wage, which is going up to $15 an hour. And it's a big discussion right now because of this proposal has 37 sponsors in the 50 member city council. So it looks like it's really strong possibility it's going to go through. But the Restaurant Association is really opposed to it because obviously it's going to raise their prices, raise their costs, I should say, and they say they're going to have to raise prices and that this is going to discourage people from eating out.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting question because, you know, there are a lot of servers who make more than the minimum wage.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, the story that we posted talks about the fact that in the Chicago metro area, the average wage of waiters and waitresses is $11.23 an hour.
Yeah.
And that people tip on average, can you guess what the average tip in the Chicago area is?
Percentage-wise?
20%.
The average.
I'm going to guess the average is far lower, probably 13%.
It's 16.7.
Oh.
Which is the
higher
average.
Than I
should
thought.
Really?
Yeah, it should be 20. Wendy's right. It should be 20. I think 20 is kind of the minimum unless you get really terrible service. Because...
Wait, 20 is the minimum?
No. I think 20 is the minimum.
Oh,
I think it should be the minimum. Okay. I think that's what... I think
I think 20 is just acceptable. I don't think you have to go much above that.
Well, okay, but I, unless you get really bad service. The thing is that has kind of always been based, for me anyway, on the idea that these men and women who are waiting tables are being paid really low
like
wages.
Like $2 an hour or something.
Well, it's actually up now, like they said, to $6.40 an hour. But still, you can't make a living on $6.40 an hour and living in this area. So, the idea that you tip 20%, the question is then for diners becomes, well, if they're going to be paid minimum wage, should I still feel obligated to tip 20%?
Right. It's a good question.
Is it built into my, because I'm paying for their higher wages and higher food costs at the restaurant. They said in this article, this is a great article, by the way, it's by Alexia Ruiz, and you should check it out on the Tribune site. She goes into a lot of detail, but they say that there are 7 states so far, California, Nevada, Washington, Oregon, Montana, Minnesota, and Alaska, that have laws like this on the books for tipped workers that include car wash workers, airport wheelchair attendants, hairdressers, and things like that. That these things are all are in force, and that it doesn't seem to affect the amount of tips that they get.
Oh, it doesn't? I'm surprised.
They still get the same amount of tips, so that maybe it's become this ingrained thing. But it does be. I mean, my initial reaction to this is that I guess my initial reaction to it is a little negative. That because if we have a decent floor, on the other hand, if they're only making an average of a little more than $11, not mm-hmm. like $12 an hour, mm-hmm. they should be making what the minimum wage. It should be making at least $13 an hour, right?
But that's not our problem.
Well, I think it's a societal problem if you want people to make that much money, and there is some provision in the law allegedly that requires a restaurant owner or a restaurant manager to raise the rate so that they're making at least minimum wage, to raise their pay to kick in to do that. So I mean, I guess the question for us and for everyone listening is, if they do this, if they raise this wage to $15 an hour, which will be done by 2022, I think, in Chicago is the proposal, does that mean that we would continue to tip at 20%, or do you feel
lower a few percentage points?
If they're being paid that much more, do we cut the amount of money being tipped?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would tip the same.
Would you?
Yeah. I mean, it's a food thing. They're bringing you food.
I think I would too. I think it's just a habit. It would be weird and difficult to go back to 10% or whatever the old standard used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it will raise everybody's prices, mm-hmm. and it'll probably drive some smaller diners out of business.
Sure. Right?
Some places that have to, that if you're having to pay your staff that much, and then you have to raise your prices, and then suddenly people are going like, gee, well, they're charging $12 a burger. I should be going to a fancier restaurant, something like that.
We've eaten, Terry and I eat out quite a bit.
That's what I'm told, yeah.
She was a waitress herself all through college and a couple of years after. And because of that, we've eaten in places where the service has been horrendously bad, and she still won't let us tip lower than 20%. We've had a couple of instances where everything has been horrible. And
I bet that drives you nuts.
Well, she says you have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. You can't always blame your... And I don't always blame the wait person.
That is really true, right? Because if your food is slow to come to the table...
What if they ignore you? That's their fault.
Or they might have too many tables. But there is sort of a manner that good service. You eat out so much. It's like someone... You can go to a restaurant where the food is slow and the person is overworked, but they're pleasant about it.
Or they say sorry for the wait.
And they explain what's going on.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, well, here's a hardworking person.
Right. It's out of your control.
Dealing with circumstances out of his or her control. And so, you say, well, that person deserves... In fact, they probably deserve a bigger tip because they're having a bad day, and there are probably people who are taking it out on them. And I've had experiences in restaurants where I've had bad service, but pleasantly bad service, if you know what I mean, where the server is pleasant, the things are the order's wrong, mm-hmm. everything like that, but it's not the server's fault,
right?
And I feel like that person almost probably needs more in the way of a tip, because they're working so
Bill,
hard.
Because of you, now tip when I pick up food, and it drives me nuts, because if you eat in there and they're bringing you water and they're cleaning up, then you tip them. But if I'm ordering food and going to pick it up, I don't feel I should tip them. And because of you, I do now.
I never used to do it. And then it was explained to me, again, by my wife, that you still have to give them a couple bucks. You don't always have to do 20%. That's a bit much for it. But what
now
the,
you
the,
tell
the
me.
The law that I've had in my head is...
Wendy's going back to those places and getting their money back.
If I see them physically, like if when I go up to the front and say, hey, we called in an order, here's the name... If there's some back and forth where they have to go get stuff and they have to put it in the bag, and then I go, okay, they really have exerted some effort. I owe them a couple of extra dollars.
They do exert effort. And yeah. Remember, a lot of your tip, some of your tip, anyway, I know it's a lot is the wrong word, but some of your tip goes to the back of the house.
Sure.
Right? It goes back to the kitchen and the other people who are preparing
bus
your food.
Boys and stuff.
And those people, all the cooks, too.
Yeah.
And that those people are working just as hard for your carryout order as they are when you're dining in.
Right.
So there is a sense of, the person is not coming out and refilling your water glass and bringing your food out to your table, but there is I don't know what they're paid also. I mean,
yeah,
maybe
I know.
They're paid the normal minimum wage, but I always throw in a couple bucks. It's usually not 20%, but
no,
it's
I've been tipping 20% when I pick it up.
I don't do
I know.
That. I don't go that
it's
high.
Fault. Now it's I got to give fault. Eric $2 for coming
yes,
in.
You do.
I am sick of tipping non-traditional tipping things.
Yeah, I understand
I'm sick
that.
Of it.
I do understand because I think those people, the people who are at counter at the coffee shop. And,
right.
So I think those people are, I hope they're paid minimum
And they
wage.
Get benefits, a lot of them. I mean, where does it end? Where's
well, that
my
is,
tip?
That is, I mean, are they working any harder than the person at the clothing store who helps you find your right size?
Do you have to tip them now, too?
No,
yes.
You don't. The people who I think deserve to be tipped but never do get tipped are the people who bag your groceries. At the supermarket.
I would like
looking
to do
at me
it.
Like
no, because I would like to do it myself.
Okay.
I wish they'd get out of my way.
Would
and
you
I,
have to
sometimes
do it
if they're
yeah.
really busy and there isn't someone bagging mine, I go to the end and
oh,
start
yeah.
bagging my
oh,
own.
Wow.
I often help out too.
I like it.
I fight them for that.
It's my dream job.
For the eggs. I mean,
and then
sure
they go clean up aisle six and Wendy's like, I got this. I'll take care of this.
I've got it.
Eric, thanks for stopping by.
Great to see you
greatly
guys.
Appreciated. Coming up, the stories that matter with Jordan Bernfield from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.